Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour for September 28th, 2017. Tonight, I'm in a very peculiar place to do my radio show. That's all I'm going to tell you. But it works. When it works, it works. That's all we have to know. But good connection, good sound, everything. And first of all, I just want to make mention that the difficulties I've had since evacuating from Florida, actually that was an interesting experience, something I'll certainly never forget, the disorder, the complete chaos. But I want to mention that this has not affected my water filter business at all. So don't think that because I am personally had to evacuate that that affected somehow the water filter business. That's all operated and completely separate and in the northern states, etc. So it's not something that even had a hiccup due to the hurricane. So people are still ordering. I just want to mention the stainless steel containers, the kitchen standard and the traveler are about to be shipped. That will, those will be the orders catching up from people that have been ordering over the last month and a half. But we have a lot of these in stock. And so start ordering those. And we'll probably be caught up with back orders within the coming week, midweek. And then we'll be shipping the new orders. So anyway, that's kind of the time frame. And very nice that people have confidence in me and my water filter products that they were ordering, knowing that those are coming in. So once again, the stainless steel kitchen standard and the traveler water filter, order those and we'll be shipping those over the next week and week and a half. So at any rate, really great products. And now they, I don't know if you remember, but I sell those now with two filters each to bring that price down for the kitchen standard under $200, unheard of in the water filter industry, to buy a stainless steel water filter with two of my standard filters, the 7-inch filters, for under $200, including shipping, you know, to the 48 states. Hawaii and Alaska and Canada, we get charged a bit more in shipping, so I have to charge a bit extra for those places, but the 48 states, free shipping on those. In fact, free shipping on pretty much all of the products, or at least the products that do have shipping. It tells you what the shipping is. It's flat rate, so it's included. And also, just a reminder, the commercial filters, people have been ordering those. They're really wonderful, the whole house filters. Okay, so on to the main science topic. And other announcements. Hurricane Maria, of course, now is tooling back out into the Atlantic Ocean. Hurricane Lee, I think there was so much, what would you call it, hype or acknowledgement by everybody that these hurricanes were man-made, manipulated. And I'll tell you a little story here in a minute to prove how worried they are, the fact that everybody really knows this now. Everybody knows. I was on Alex Jones. I was on Power Hour with Daniel Brigman. I was on, of course, John Moore's show. I've had other interviews, really widely distributed. And talking about the real situation, that hurricanes are not created with warm water, that they, in fact, are powered from electrical currents from the ionosphere, and how the control is done with laser satellites. And here is the level that the mainstream media and the disinformation crew, which stems from the CIA, who is the master, the controller of all disinformation. Let's put it that way, because disinformation is a business. It's big business. And the CIA began this in earnest after the first Gulf War, when they bought CNN. Remember, during the first Gulf War, Ted Turner owned CNN, and it was an amazing network where they had real reporting. and Saddam Hussein and George Bush Sr. were both getting their information on troop movement and logistics and positioning and everything about the first Gulf War came from reporters that were on the ground from CNN. They showed how the American anti-missile defense system did not work, and the CIA and the military were reporting that they were shooting down incoming missiles. And there's Ted Turner's men on the ground showing that nothing is being shot down, that these missiles were coming in. And so the CIA cannot handle real truth. They cannot handle real information getting to you, the public. So they bought CNN. So disinformation was created. Of course, previous to that, there was a lot of disinformation, manipulation of information going all the way back, to the Vietnam War and earlier back to World War II. We know that the Roosevelt knew about Pearl Harbor previous to the attack, let it happen, put some in, and instead of some of the big ships, moved some of the lesser ships into Pearl Harbor to have a dramatic effect and, of course, get the United States involved in the Pacific War. In World War II in general. So fake information, of course, that goes back to the days of the Romans and before, where one of the greatest industries was creating wars, creating warfare. So anyway, CNN was created to just as a disinformation source. But the point I want to make is that the CIA controls this. Now, remember the main points that I've been promulgating with my exposés regarding hurricanes, that in the mid-1990s, I worked with Russian scientists. We developed a system based on my scientific theoretical work to divert hurricanes away from land, and this was using lasers. Now, to effectively do this, you have to have these lasers in space. Now, you could imagine, say, let's have an airplane do this. Well, no. An airplane really doesn't have the wherewithal to fly close to the surface and create the type of electrical discharge with a laser. Okay, how about a boat? No, because the eye of the hurricane, the storm can be moving at 15 to 20 miles an hour. So you can't have a boat that's big enough to move that fast with the eye of the hurricane and drag it around. And it's a logistic problem getting a boat into the eye of the hurricane, etc. So the easiest thing to do is to put up a laser satellite. And the whole point was that you take the laser and drag you put the laser off in the corner or the direction of the hurricane eye where you want the hurricane to move to. And that creates a larger electrical discharge. That's where the low pressure cell is, and the eye moves in that direction. It's as simple as that. But in 1995, nobody even knew what caused hurricanes, let alone how to maneuver or control them. And so that technology was passed over to the U.S. military through media. And the point was that Russia doesn't have a problem with hurricanes. The United States does. And so it was a gesture of goodwill so that the United States could eliminate the hurricane problem. Okay, well, the psychos, the Dr. Strangeloves in the U.S. military, of course, which is subordinate to the CIA, decided to put up some major laser satellites. And we saw these going up. They tried to hide these. They went up in the space shuttle. And they took up the entire shuttle bay. So we knew that these were not communication satellites like they claimed they were. These were not communication satellites. They were laser satellites, and we knew this. So the Russian the scientists went to the United Nations in around 2000. And in 2000, 2001, the United Nations drafted an anti-weather warfare treaty, international treaty, pointed at the United States because the Russians were saying, hey, the Americans have this technology. They obviously are putting equipment into space. Part of that treaty was to demilitarize outer space. and to prevent the militarization of weather. And the United States, of course, refused to sign that. So let's fast forward up to 2017, where we have Hurricane Harvey, Maria, Jose, and then Lee. And let me just do a little segue here for a second, that hurricanes are named in order. Now, this is something that's been going on since the 1800s. Those names are designated by a body, like a body of international agreement. Those names are given for both the Atlantic and the Pacific. Now, the Atlantic and Pacific storms have a different chronological order, and they're named in alphabetical order. This goes back to the 1800s. So you start out with A. The first storm of the season is listed as A. Then B, then C. You know, we all know the alphabet. We all know the alphabet, but apparently this year, NOAA and the Milboys, who run the laser satellites, got it a little out of order, because Maria was named before Hurricane Lee even existed. Now, understand the importance of this. Hurricane Maria, now, this was, to me, if you picked a name of something that represents Puerto Rico, I've had a lot of activity myself personally in Puerto Rico. I know the island, just like I know the Caribbean islands, other Caribbean islands, major Caribbean islands I have experience with, including some where you're not supposed to go to, things like that. But that's, anyway, neither here nor there. But Puerto Rico, if there is one name in the English and Spanish language that typifies Puerto Rico, it is the word Maria. Maria, West Side Story, Leonard Bernstein's classic Broadway play, West Side Story, and the character, the Tony, is the American guy, and then there's the Maria is the beautiful Puerto Rican young girl who falls in love, and of course the conflict between the Jets and the Puerto Ricans. The name Maria is synonymous with Puerto Rico. So isn't it strange that they picked the name Maria for the storm that destroyed Puerto Rico? Now, let me just talk a little bit about the destruction of Puerto Rico. It, as far as I was in Puerto Rico in 1975, in August, September. I don't remember which month it was. It was probably late August, early September. But I had been up in on assignment in a house up in the mountains in Puerto Rico, and a hurricane went 90 miles offshore on the north, to the northern side of Puerto Rico. And the wind, it blew, you know, a hurricane, 90 miles away from the eye, you're getting 60 to 80 mile an hour winds. But the wind damage was not that extensive, although at that time, 75, I'm sorry, the structures in Puerto Rico, a lot of them were wood, a lot of them were not well built, you know, poorly constructed, just because it's a poor island, you know. And it's, by the way, a lot of people don't know that it's a Commonwealth of the United States. It's where the IRS lives. The reason the IRS is there is because they don't have to pay taxes. If the IRS existed in any other state in the Union, they would be subject to federal taxes. Puerto Rico, you are not subject to federal taxes. So the IRS, which is the collection agency, the private collection agency for the European bankers, and in collusion with Congress, stay in Puerto Rico because it's a tax-free zone for their dirty work. Okay, so anyway, that's one interesting aspect of this. But also, I said this on the Alex Jones show. I was a guest this past week with Owen Schroyer, and it was the way we had a lot of technical problems on the studio, and they were having trouble getting connected with me. But anyway, I did have time to say that the storms that hit the Caribbean, Irma first with the path, we all know what path it took, taking out the northern Antilles Islands, wrapped way north of Puerto Rico and back into the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and Cuba, and then swinging north to destroy Florida and Georgia. That was its planned path with the full evacuation, etc., of Florida. But and then Maria comes along and takes out the southern Antilles Islands and comes up for a direct bowling ball hit of Puerto Rico. So Maria totally, totally destroyed Puerto Rico. I mean, it just, and I don't know how these people are existing there now. There's no refrigeration. There's no electricity. There's no food. These poor people, I haven't seen any, after all the hoopla from CNN, I really haven't seen much in the way of them trying to help these poor people out. But Hurricane Maria was named before Hurricane Lee. Now, as I said, we all know the alphabet. L comes before M in, you know, since the days of Rome and before. The letters come in that order. J-K-L-M, L-M, you know. And so Hurricane Lee did not originate until after Hurricane Maria. Now, this is so strange, and I'm probably one of the only people that's savvy enough to notice these types of things. But once again, who would pick the name of the storm when it's forming out in the Atlantic, the name Maria, and of course the name was picked a long time ago, but to destroy Puerto Rico? This is more than coincidence, gentlemen, ladies, kids, grandmas, and grandpas. This is more than coincidence. This was planned. And now, the other thing that I was mentioning, I said on the Alex Jones show, was that this was planned, the destruction of the Caribbean islands, because as with Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, as with Myanmar, a lot of the Southeast Asian countries that were involved in the Vietnam War era, which later then were taken over by U.S. and international interests to build exclusive resort communities. And so when I was on Alex Jones a couple weeks ago with Alex as host, he mentioned that on the Caribbean islands, they took away, and the Virgin Islands, they confiscated guns before the hurricane came. Well, why do you think they were doing that? Of course, they're social engineering these islands. They wanted all these people off of there, and they're willing to destroy and kill people to get their way. And the clear, obvious reason that I can see now is that special large interest groups want to get into those islands and build up high buck tourist areas, because and then they can all of a sudden they'll magically control a hurricane so they don't go there anymore. So gee, you can go to the Caribbean in September, October, November, when the hurricane season would still be going on. September is the highest count hurricane month. You might think that August would be, but it's actually September by a long shot, including Florida. But that's what's, mark my words, you're going to see that just like you saw in Southeast Asia after the CIA was in there. Remember, they were not supposed to be in Cambodia. They were not supposed to be in Laos by congressional edicts. And they were there. They were there bombing and disrupting. And then after the wars ended, they were there to put in international mega hotels for tourism. Okay, so at any rate, going back to, I was going to mention this. Now this, you got to sit down and put on your seatbelts for this one. Let me just reiterate the main points that I was making regarding hurricane formation and laser satellites and manipulation of weather. With the laser satellites, We knew that there were three of them put up in 2001 with the space shuttle. So we knew that they had, with three, you can control the weather on Earth, in any place on Earth, because as the Earth spins, you always have a access to all parts of the Earth. If you had two satellites up there, it wouldn't be enough. Three satellites is enough to control the weather around the entire world. So we knew that they put up three. We knew that they were going to do this. The United States would not sign the treaty. Okay, so laser satellites, hurricane manipulation, etc., and space-based. Very important to understand why they have to be space-based. Because on the water, boats, nope, doesn't cut it. In airplanes, nope, doesn't cut it. Sounding rockets, nope, doesn't cut it. None of these techniques would work because of the logistics of managing around in the atmosphere vehicles such as boats or airplanes or rockets, etc. No, you need this to be space-based. Okay, so now, Mishu Kaku, the Tier 2 promoted by Standard Science as being the premier scientist physicist in the world, which isn't true. He's the premier notoriety person. He's the person they put up on the podium as the most intelligent, and then he talks about these topics. He gets on major TV shows and starts saying, oh, we're using lasers to control weather. And then he says they shoot trillion megawatt lasers into clouds to cause rain and lightning. And by the way, that was one of my inventions, was to create lightning using lasers. And so anyway, but it's very specific. He's saying ground-based lasers. They want to keep away from the idea that the military has space-based lasers, in spite of the fact that this show is coming out. Remember Geostorm, this movie that's coming out in early October, talks about space-based laser, but Mishu Kaku doesn't go there. He talks about ground-based lasers, which is a farce, because if you shoot a ground-based laser at a cloud, it's going to create a path from the laser position on the ground up to that cloud. And so anyway, total disinformation that it's ground-based. No, it's not ground-based, Mishu Kaku. And by the way, if he were a Tier 1 real scientist, you would never hear his name. You would never see him. Real scientists, real Tier 1 scientists, you never hear their name. You never see them. Okay, so Mishu Kaku is a piece of Tier 2 science. You know, I could say some other worse things, but look at how they put him up there. They glorify, exonerate him as being some kind of amazing, smart physicist. Well, he's not. And he's never been near Tier 1 science in his life. The other guy that they put up and promote is Stephen Hawking, who sits in a wheelchair. I don't even know if he's still alive, but if he is, he's completely... I saw him decades ago, and he was a very bad shape at that point. But the point is that Stephen Hawking is not communicating with anybody. They're putting words in his mouth and using him to influence public thoughts on science and other issues. Okay, so Mishu Kaku gets on, and then he says, yeah, we're doing this, we're controlling, but just rain and lightning. He doesn't talk about hurricanes at all. And then he goes, the warm water in the Atlantic Ocean, there's a lot of warm water, so we can expect lots more hurricanes this year. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Here he throws everything, every piece of disinformation in the book into his dialogue. And they just let him roll. He's got his dialogue, his set dialogue. And what's the message? That hurricanes, according to Standard Science, warm water, hurricanes. If there's a lot of warm water, then, hey, there's a lot of warm water all over the world, all the time. Why are there not hurricanes? Why, you know, there's in Brazil, in South Africa, there's warm water, not the country of South Africa, but south of the equator, there's warm water. So why don't we have hurricanes all year long in the world? Well, that's because hurricanes are not created by warm water. Hurricane Jose was up in the North Atlantic, almost made landfall in Nova Scotia, in the Maine to Nova Scotia area. But where's the warm water there to keep driving Hurricane Jose? Where is the warm water, NOAA, National Hurricane Prediction Center? Where's the warm water? Well, there isn't any. You know, it's ice cold. Well, you know, we're approaching winter in the North Atlantic. There's no warm water there to drive these storms. So anyway, my point is they put up Michio Kaku, Mr. You know, on The Simpsons, appears on The Simpsons, and to try and basically take my message and do a 90-degree left turn on it. You know, so he's promoting ground-based lasers, only causes rain and lightning, harmless little thing like that, and then comes off saying that hurricanes, there's warm water, so we can, and priming the public to expect more, that more hurricanes this year is normal. So the other thing is the National Hurricane Prediction Center, up until Hurricane Harvey hit in Texas, up until Harvey, there weren't any tropical storms even all year. And this is a year when there should not be any. And that was my prediction in the very beginning, because the solar system conditions are not right for hurricanes. The electrical conditions on Earth are dependent on the electrical conditions in the solar system. And there just are not any. The sun is quiescent at very low ebb energy. Wise electrically, the sun is very low energy, and there's just not enough energy to produce hurricanes down in the troposphere and to power up the ionosphere. Okay, there's enough for minor storm activity. But if you enhance the electrical discharge with lasers, then you can create these. Hurricane Irma was created far in the East Atlantic, and these storms were driven up from 1 to Category 5, like overnight. Bingo! Where's the energy to do this? It's just absurd when you see these. And then Hurricane Jose goes up in the Atlantic, does a loop-de-loop, goes north a little bit, does another loop-de-loop. And I thought they were going to bring Hurricane Maria into probably North Carolina, but they did not. I think the hammering of the public on the idea of manipulated storms has gotten to be so great that they can't keep the lid on it, even with their little tier two moron, Michio Kaku. And I hope he listens to this so he finds out who he is and what he is, and that he's not the great scientist that he thinks he is. The reason they put him up there is because he's a guy that read a textbook, repeated it, got an A, and got his PhD. That's who he is. He's never done good science. He's never done original science. He's never been a tier one scientist, and he never will be. He's there because he's a mouthpiece that can say what they want. That's who Michio Kaku is. And I hope he listens to this. Send him an email. Tell him to listen to this show, because he will find out who he is, where he lives in the world of science, and that he, you know, if he thinks he's a great scientist, you know, he ain't at all. And very clearly, once again, if you see scientists, if you hear their name, they're not tier one. They never will be, not at his age. They're not going to pluck him up to do anything else. But they'll put a nice pretty suit on him, put him in front of a camera, and he can spout his textbook idiocies. We call them textbook geniuses, Yeah, there's a few other names, but basically, yeah, not a top-notch scientist at all. Okay, well, just to summarize what's going on right now, Hurricane Lee has spun off, going east. Hurricane Jose has dissipated, spun out. Hurricane Maria has spun out. Hurricane Irma, of course, dissipated in southern Florida. Just to give a damage report in southern Florida, yes, there was damage. I know people that, especially down by Naples, there was a lot of damage in that area with southwestern Florida on the peninsula. And Miami area, some damage, but not as much, because remember, Miami is a very, the buildings in Miami, because of the Hurricane Andrew, the construction that has occurred in that area up the Dade County, Miami area has been blocked with hurricane shutters, and they're really well prepared, much better than in the days of Andrew, when Andrew came in. And also Hurricane Irma, which was designed to destroy and evacuate Florida, for the there again, if you could evacuate and do enough destruction in Florida, then you could come in with the big money boys and build that, basically take over all that land and rebuild it, and a lot of the buildings would still be usable, would be have to a lot of reconstruction, but they could then come in and buy that on pennies on the dollar and become the owners from Key West all the way up to the East Coast, to San Augustine, to through Jacksonville and up into Georgia and beyond. Remember that Irma was supposed to destroy Georgia also. They were evacuating the coastlines, telling people to get out. That's when, remember, I was personally in Atlanta, going, trying to get from south to north. I evacuated from Florida, and total disaster. They tried to evacuate the people in southern Florida first, and as that massive wave of traffic came up, both 95 on the East Coast, 75 through north through central Florida, with this massive amount of traffic coming up from Miami, Dade County, and Naples areas, and Fort Myers, trying to come up. Then they say, okay, now Tampa Bay and the East Coast evacuate also. So all this traffic is trying to get on the freeway. The gas stations were empty. Just a complete disaster. Governor Rick Scott, what a complete moron. And they didn't utilize the back roads. The reason they had to keep the southbound lanes open was because way after the fact, they were trying to get gas trucks down into southern Florida to refuel the gas stations so there was enough gas for people to get out of there. Oh, my goodness. You know, and if, let me just say this. If Hurricane Irma had done what they had planned to do, and that was to destroy Florida, we would be looking at probably a minimum 10 million people dead, sitting on the freeway, out of gas, and in stop-and-go traffic. That's what would have happened. That is what would have happened. We would probably have a minimum of 10 million people now dead. Now, let's talk about Rick Scott for a minute. Every time I saw him, he was reading a script, and he had a Homeland Security guy on one side and a FEMA guy on the other side, and he looked like he was under duress. Let's put it that way. This is what I want to know. Who was writing his scripts for him? And certainly he wasn't in charge of anything. The whole idea was to get Florida evacuated. And the same with the governor of Georgia. I don't know even who that is, but they made absolutely no effort with the massive wave of traffic coming up out of Florida and converging from both 95 and 75 converging in Atlanta. They were evacuating the coastal cities of of Georgia and northern Florida, and all of that traffic was then moving through the back roads, the non-freeway roads of Georgia up to Atlanta. So you probably had an extra probably 500,000 automobiles coming into Atlanta at one time. And they made no provisions at all to route this traffic and get it off to north and west. And, of course, at the time, they thought Hurricane Irma was going to come right over Atlanta, destroy Atlanta, the coastal cities with coastal surge and heavy rain and heavy wind, and then go up even as far as Tennessee. There were, in Tennessee, I understand, they were draining the reservoirs expecting massive storm rain and amounts of rain. So they actually started draining, remember the Tennessee Valley, the big reserves, the reservoirs there that they made for electrical back in the 1930s. They started draining those big man-made lakes, expecting massive amounts of water from the what would be left of Hurricane Irma. Okay, so this they expected massive damage even up as far as Tennessee. But if you add the populations of Georgia and Florida, Florida around 30 million, Georgia around 10 million, Florida is the third most populous state in the country, behind California and Texas. And of course, Texas had already been drastically affected, and with the population movement, social engineering with Hurricane Harvey. But add the populations of Florida, 30 million, plus Georgia, 10 million. Georgia is right up there in population also. You're talking about, Florida is 20 million. Excuse me. Florida's 20 million people. Georgia is 10 million. Add them together, you have 30 million people. That's 10% of the United States population that would have been in refugee status. And Alex Jones asked me, he said, what would be the logic of doing this? And the only logical conclusion is the destruction of the United States. If you can take the Florida, which is the highest real estate in the United States, literally, in spite of New York and the East Coast up north, Florida's really the highest buck real estate in the country, and destroy it and move all the people out, you have basically created a major, major piece of damage, of hurt on the United States, and that's what Houston was. Houston not only was a major economic power in Texas, it's a major economic center in the United States and internationally. Completely destroyed and dysfunctional, still trying to recover down there. And with that level of destruction, then there would be nothing left to help out the Caribbean islands. And, of course, to damage the tourist areas in northern Cuba, which were destined to start growing as soon as the travel ban and business ban are being lifted. That's going to happen, the various degrees, but that is going to happen. And so that's why they were trying to destroy the resort regions of Cuba on the north coast, just like the Dominican Republic, where they destroyed those, and then Puerto Rico. Good grief. Now I want to talk a little bit about human trafficking. Now, this gets into some more nefarious aspects of this. This we saw in Haiti after the major earthquake there. The Clintons received a tremendous amount of money from donations from charity. The Clintons received this massive amount of money and pocketed the money. What word can you describe when a country as poor as Haiti is devastated by a massive earthquake? The people are dying of starvation. Money is being given. It's given to the Clinton Foundation. They pocket the money and don't do anything. Oh, no. And now listen, it gets worse. They were caught trafficking kids out of Haiti. This is known. They caught the, there's a woman that's works for the Clintons that was trafficking little kids for pedophilia out of Haiti after the earthquake there. So now, also I should mention that the Clintons were caught. Remember their boat was caught, was it Massachusetts Harbor? A number of months ago. Their personal private ship, not a luxury vessel, but used for shipping. They caught the containers, you know, the shipping containers on the boat full of ISIS, what would you call ISIS military people, of, you know, military men of military age. They caught the Clinton ship. After that, Chelsea Clinton sells the ship. Well, who did they sell it to? The Clintons don't just leave stuff and sell it and go away. By the way, the Clintons, it's rather interesting that all of their donations dried up after she didn't win the election. In fact, there were people that asked for their money back. Why do you think that is? It's because they're running a racket that all these people thought they were going to have access to the U.S. government and all the goodies because she was going to be in office. She was just going to continue with the pay-for-play uninterrupted, but at a much grander scale. But the point is, where is the Clinton ship right now? But my point is, going back to the Caribbean and a place as vulnerable as the Dominican Republic, Haiti again, being hit by the hurricanes, and then Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and the Antilles and the Lesser Antilles Islands all the way down to just about all the way down to Venezuela. I don't think it got as far as Aruba, Curaçao. I don't think the hurricane affected those areas. But there, given the patterns of the past, you can predict that and make the assumption, and it's fairly concrete in my way of viewing things, that the Clintons and other people are in those regions, the pedophile groups, and there's no accountability of the people. We have also in Houston and in Florida tens of millions of people evacuating, and I saw them. I was right next to them. You know, people evacuating, and a lot of poor people with no place to go, no money, with five kids in the car. You know, there's no way of accounting for all of the human movement that's been going on. And this would be a trafficker's dream to get in there, take kids or whatever. And there's, you know, there's the services, the police, etc., are just being overwhelmed, unable to respond. And also in Texas. Now let's go back to New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit, which was a manipulated man-made storm designed to destroy New Orleans. And the day after Hurricane Katrina passed, the CIA, they guaranteed that's who it was, blew the levees in seven places in New Orleans. Now, I used to live in New Orleans. I lived there for a couple of years. I've lived in a lot of places. I've lived in Florida. But New Orleans, I know the levee system there very well because as a student at Tulane, I rode my bicycle. That was my main. I had a car, too, because I had my assistantship that was paid me, you know, to go to school there to get my degree, my physics degree. Physics and solid state and nuclear physics at Tulane University. As is typical, they paid me to go to school there, and I had a little car there, and I had my bicycle. But my bicycle, New Orleans is beautiful. It's flat. I mean, it's a bicycler's dream. Lots of back streets through the old quaint little back streets, no traffic, and I could just fly around New Orleans on my bicycle, because I knew the routes and the times to go, etc., but also rode on the levees. And so I know that levee system like the back of my hand. And so anyway, when they blew the levees, in fact, that day, I don't know if you remember a guy named Alex Merklinger had a radio show, When I heard the day after Katrina passed that they blew the levees in seven places, I called him up. He was on the air. I broke into his radio show, and I was screaming mad because I knew what they were doing. Those lower wards where the poor black people live, they were destroying them. They were basically killing those people and driving them out. And then they had them put on buses and bussed out of there. Remember that on the there's only three routes out of New Orleans. There's the Western Freeway out of over the Causeway. There's the Causeway over Lake Pontchartrain. And then there's the freeway going out east out of New Orleans. New Orleans is surrounded by swamp. There's only three ways out. And the FEMA had those blocked. Homeland Security had those blocked. They wouldn't let semis in with relief materials. They had the people there. They had that sectored off, and the people couldn't leave unless they went in designated buses. We don't know what happened with those people. There's potentially hundreds of thousands of people. We don't know what happened to them. But they were forced to leave New Orleans on buses, on FEMA buses. And so that was what was going to happen in Florida. You know, the same thing where it would be FEMA-designated buses. We know that in Florida there were hurricanes back in the 2000s where there were four hurricanes crisscrossed. One came in over Fort Myer and totally manipulated storm and destroyed mobile home parks. And the people were trying to get in there, and the FEMA trucks were there with body bags. They were loading the bodies up and taking them out of there, and we don't know where they went to. There was no way of tracking it. We do know this went on. So I have been told by people, and this I have not verified myself, but they take these people for selling body parts. And this is a big international business. And so, at any rate, this is all part of the human trafficking. Trump has done a lot towards stopping human trafficking, but this is a situation where there's no data. There's not a group of people, say, in an apartment or in a complex or in some kind of business or in a basement of someplace. This is after a major storm where there's total disaster and chaos. And so there's no way of tracking what is going on. So as a part of this whole entourage of hurricanes that have come in, I can pretty much guarantee you that human trafficking is making use of these disasters to promote human trafficking. In fact, it could be a grand part of the purpose of doing this in the first place. Remember that this radio show, I talk about topics that you're not going to hear elsewhere. If some other radio show were covering these topics, I wouldn't be covering them. But nobody else is covering these topics. When we get into geopolitical situations where nobody else is talking about it, and it's something that has to be covered, I will cover it on this show. But this is related to science because these are man-made manipulated shows, storms, and this is the one of the end results. Remember that the issue of politics, sometimes it used to be, I don't get this much anymore because I've educated people, when I talk about politics, geopolitics, social engineering, or other issues, these are very much related to science because you have to understand this whole thing was manipulated and orchestrated because of the ability to create and manipulate and manage storm systems, man-made manipulation of storm systems. And then this other activity is an end result. It's an after effect of the ability of groups to manipulate storms. Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. Now, over the past week, there's been a lot of controversy about athletes and the football games. and not standing for the national anthem, etc., politicizing sporting events. And so I'm just going to make one comment, and it's relative to what I'm talking about relative to my show when I talk about politics. The reason I include politics on my show is because it's relevant. It has relevance because science is owned, scientists, scientific engineering, and scientists themselves are owned. I've known people that have worked in institutions, think tanks, whether it's Battelle or whether it's like the laundry list, Gulf South Research. A lot of these places do CIA research and surreptitious research, black ops research, that is used for who knows what. But a lot of these scientists do it. They keep their mouth shut because they know what they're doing. But they keep their mouth shut because they're owned. They've signed non-disclosure agreements, gag orders, etc. Now, in a football game or a baseball game, political activity is not related to the end result, which is the sports event. Okay, so the only thing I'm going to say is if those players want to express themselves, the field where people are paying to go see a sporting event is not the place to do it. And there are rules in the NFL and the baseball and basketball, etc., regarding that. It has nothing to do with the sporting event. They are not being paid to express political views. It's not part of the event that you're paying for when you go there. So the only point is that it is not relevant to the activity at hand. And so in that point, those people are free to do things off the court, off the field, as they wish. And the issue is that it's not something that's germane to what they're doing. And so anyway, I don't really want to get involved in that. I think it's good, in fact, it's really imperative that people who are highly visible make political statements. So for those players, they have the ability to get the news media's attention, some guy that's, you know, very popular, etc. They have the ability to get the news media's attention and use their time. They're making, you know, what, $50 million? I don't know what these guys make. You know, they're not missing any meals. But the other thing is they have the wherewithal off the field, off the court, off the baseball field or whatever. They have the wherewithal to get media attention and to get their point across. Okay, so the only thing I'm saying is that you're not paying when you buy a ticket to go and listen to somebody's political views. And second of all, these people, of all people, are very wealthy. If anybody has lived the American dream, it's these people. You know, so off the field, go and help people. Go give your political views. Go give, you know, and they have access to the press. You're telling me that a guy that's making 50, 100, I don't know what they make, how many millions and millions a year they're getting for being a sports, and you're telling me they don't have access to the press? Sure they do, and they can do that off the field. But the issue is it germane to the event that's going on? That is the issue. That's the only issue. And the answer is no. Are political issues germane to what I do on this radio show? Yes. We're dealing with science being politicized and used, and who owns science, who owns engineering, how are they using it for social manipulation, etc. And so, yes, it's germane to what I'm doing. And additionally, this is my avenue to voice. So my show, my material, and, you know, if people don't like it, there's the button there. It's very simple. If you don't like what I'm saying, it's a very simple operation to turn me off. And some people do. But a lot more people are turning on the show every week to listen and get my viewpoints on many topics. So at any rate, and these are important topics that I'm covering regarding weather manipulation, because there are so many disinformation websites out there. One of them being promoted is claiming that nuclear reactors, the steam from nuclear reactors, is creating hurricanes. Absurd, absolutely absurd. But see, that is those sites, when you start to get emails with these or links to these and the links that you get in your email, then you start to see that there's a tremendous coordinated effort to try and keep people away from sites like mine, where you're getting real information, not made up. So there's a lot of sites that talk about weather engineering, but it's totally bogus. It leads you to wrong conclusions, to wrong information, and wrong sources. And who's doing this? That's the total disinformation aspect of a lot of these websites. Okay? So I'm sure all of you have been trapped into looking at videos, YouTube videos, etc. Once again, I don't put anything on YouTube videos for just putting out videos. I don't have email lists where I mass email, etc., because they're too easily hijacked. I put my information on my webpage and on this radio show, and as when I'm guests on shows that are have hosts who are long-term stable hosts. At any rate, okay, we're starting to run out of time here. I just want to remind you, the whole house filters, if you buy the whole house filter on my webpage, and by the way, I'm going to be putting links on there that are PayPal links where you can buy directly the whole house filters. It used to be you had to click on an email and then send me an email with what you want. I'm going to be posting PayPal links on there. I cannot use my merchant account because these are fairly significant large sales, and it would choke my merchant system. And so all of my other water filters are sold with the merchant system, the Visa merchant system. But the whole house filters used for farms, ranches, whole house. Here's the point, that they are on 10% sale, free shipping to the 48 states. But the replacement filter packs can be fairly pricey. By the way, these last for a year, 2 years without replacement of filters. But people are buying the replacement filter packs for a greatly discounted price when you buy them with the initial purchase of the main unit. So I have people that are buying 2, 3, 4 sets of replacement filters. And I'm out of time. Just go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. That's JMCC. S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. Remember, the stainless steel containers are back in stock, shipping now. So go there. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.